You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
So we're here with episode 8 of Ethnosinology. Sorry about talking about my deceased dog last time. This will be a lot more uplifting. We have my friend Johnny Devaney, who you know from the David Ian Howe show. Or his, you probably know him more from his skits on YouTube and TikTok and,
Instagram. It.
Yeah, it's just my YouTube video that has like, 8,000 views with you is probably the biggest, you know, thing you've ever done in your life.
I think so.
Probably, at least to my mom. Anyway, so Johnny and I had this idea of, we're just going to talk about dog facts and I'm going to let him just roll, but you want to say hi or, you know.
What's hey, up? Everybody. I'm Johnny. Nice to see you again if you're here for the second time, and nice to meet you if you're here for the first time.
For the listeners, he just did the click wink thing.
I did.
All right. He's wearing a Christmas sweater. This is Fender, which I appreciate, not Gibson. Gibson can get out of here, dude.
Yeah, well, what about Taylor? Are you okay with Taylor?
Taylor's okay. I'm more of a Martin guy, but Taylor sounds good.
I'll go fuck myself.
Okay, so we're going to talk about facts. Oh, so the homework, do you want to explain it?
Yeah. No, you go. It's your show.
Okay. The homework was that him and I are both dog guys on the internet. So we were like, we should probably know things about dogs. So the homework was to come in and do facts and research on a specific breed. I picked German Shepherds and he picked, what was it?
I picked Salukis.
Oh, right. Because he's a Saluki kid.
I love it.
So I want to let Johnny just roll with Salukis. And here's the thing.
Right.
If we're wrong, please let us know in the comments or send me a strongly worded email to David at davidenhow.com.
Lots of swears. You can DM me too. I won't read it. I'll just cry. But yeah, just let me know.
Okay.
All right. So Salukis. If you don't know what a Saluki is, David's going to put one up on the screen, please.
Got it.
Thanks. All right. All right, so I wrote this in grade 10 when I learned what this place was. If you or a loved one has ever been diagnosed with Mesopotamia, you may be entitled to an ancient civilization. Symptoms include agriculture, organized religion, writing things down, math, and a king named Gilgamesh that'll bang your wife. Thank you. That's my opener.
Wow. I'm not going to throw this. That was awesome, dude.
Thanks, dude.
And you wrote that in grade 10? What is grade 10? Is that ninth grade for us?
Are you dumb? It's grade 10.
So it's 10th grade for us.
Yeah. We have the same. I'm not English, so I don't do like year 10 and all that shit.
Okay. I just know from Trailer Park Boys, he's like, I got to get my grade 10 or whatever. So it's equivalent. Okay.
Wow. They're out in like Nova Scotia. They're weird over there.
That's true.
On a little island. They're better than Ontarians, but anyway, so Mesopotamia, you know it, you love it, and we thank our entire existence for Mesopotamia because they gave us the most important thing. Some dickhead that can't smelt copper properly.
Oh, right. That guy is the most roasted dude in history.
Oh, man. I feel so bad. Just the time it took to write out a tablet just talking shit about your copper. Tough. Anyway, so.
We'll put a picture right here.
20,000 years ago, we domesticated dogs-ish, probably. That's what you said in your video. I take it as gospel. So, about 10,000 years ago, people were like, I hate hunting. I hate gathering. I'd rather plant some shit in the ground and eat that. And so everyone was like, actually, that sounds like a really good idea. We're going to join you and we're going to create what's called civilization. And so here we are in ancient Sumer. Ancient Mesopotamia, ancient Babylonia. Yeah, that's one.
Yep.
This is where the Saluki would have emerged as a breed. One of the oldest cities in ancient Mesopotamia was the city of Sumer, about a 6,000-year-old city. The Sumerians were through and through dog people. The oldest piece of writing was the Epic of Gilgamesh, which shows the goddess Ishtar. And she, while it's not depicted in the Epic of Gilgamesh, there are a lot of statues that we've found. I have links for this. I'll send you everything.
Sure.
Where it's her and seven of her prized dogs. I have seven dogs here with me today. So you can call me Ishtar if you want. Yeah. But one thing to note is that all of the dogs had collars and leashes. And a lot of people think that the Egyptians invented collars. You're stupid. It was the Sumerians.
Ish starting to learn things here.
Ish starting to learn?
Yep.
Hell yeah. All right. So ancient Mesopotamia is the first time we really see dogs being used for jobs. You got your guard dogs. You got your livestock dogs.
Right.
And you've got your hunting dogs. This is where the Saluki comes in, baby.
Okay.
Because this thing, I will send you this video. I want you to put it up right here as I'm talking.
Okay.
This is the craziest video I've ever seen. It's the fastest dog I've ever seen, just chasing down a gazelle. Oh, there's a bloodhound. There's a bloodhound in the car, just like barking them in with encouragement. And it's just three, I think it's three Salukis, and they're just hauling ass, ripping it to get a gazelle. And it's so sick. It's
I didn't really know they hunt a gazelle. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what their main shtick is, because I guess, I don't know, you take like the wolves, you start like whatever, we're moving down to hotter places, let's get rid of all that fur. Oh, let's make them taller, let's make them leaner so they can run faster through the desert. Right. And then I guess somebody was just like, actually, I want really pretty ears and a really pretty tail, but I want to keep the fast juice. And so hunting in the Middle East would have required extreme skill. Can you shut up, lightsaber? Sorry, that was my lightsaber.
I respect everything that's happening right now.
Keep what going. A shit show. Hunting. Oh, yeah. My dog's blind now. I don't know if we talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Life update.
Yeah, my dog has no eyes.
He can't see his dog. I can't see mine. No, wait. Your dog can't. His dog can't see. I can't see mine. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Shredder. He's like, he's still dumb.
Yeah, so hunting in the Middle East would have required extreme skill and patience, because they had big open plains, which is easier to spot game, but it also just made it incredibly hard to get close to animals, because you can see the animal, they can see you. And so, as you know, humans are the best long-distance runners in the world, because we kind of just jog lightly till the animal gives up. But come on, people. It's the birthplace of civilization. We don't want to work hard. Let's do what humans do best. Let's get an animal to do it.
Yes.
So they're like, all right, let's grab the fastest dog that we can find, which was apparently a Saluki. I think greyhounds are like 2 kilometers faster, but semantics, let's not get into it. They can reach up to speeds of about 72 kilometers an hour. I have no idea what that is in miles per hour. Probably around 40 to 50 is my guess. We call
those freedom units. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Everybody else will know, except for Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The Greyhound is 62 kilometers an hour, and the Saluki is 69 kilometers an hour. Nice. Yeah. And so this kind of speed and endurance made it a really good gazelle hunter. And they use Salukis, or at least a very early version of modern Salukis, because there are artifacts after artifacts of like carvings, statues, and a third thing, pottery, that's what it is, that have dogs with feathered ears and legs that are just like incredibly long. Like if you wanted to dominate a fashion show and go hunting after, just grab a Saluki.
Makes sense. They're pretty fab.
As the ancient cities began thriving, there were a group of people that rejected the idea of living in one place. And you may know this word as nomads. And there were a certain type of nomads in the Middle East called the Bedouins. I pray to God that I'm saying that right, because it comes from the Arabic word Badawi.
Bedouins?
Bedouins?
I've always heard Bedouin, but that might not be the right. They probably say like Bedouin or something.
Okay.
Something from
Bedouin. I asked my barber is, we'll get into that to a sec, but my barber's Iranian and okay. I asked him a bunch of questions.
Because he'd know.
Everything about Iran, I just ask him and I take it as gospel because he's the only person I know. Just like how I'm your only Canadian friend, hopefully. And if you have any others, I'm going to kill them. So
that still talks to me, yes.
But Bedouins, a third way of saying it, they would have been like desert dwellers that, shut up, don't make fun of me. I'm trying really hard. The Bedouins,
yeah,
which means desert dweller, would have lived in the desert, and they kind of just traveled around the desert with Seleukis and used it for hunting. And while it's not 100% certain, it is thought that these nomadic tribes are what brought the Seleuki to Egypt. Either that or a bunch of Sumerians just went like, hey, we got a bunch of leftover stuff. You want to sell it? And they just went west to Egypt.
Okay.
And now we can talk about my barber, Yasser, beautiful Iranian man.
Nice.
I asked him, hey, have you ever heard of a Seleuki before? And he goes, yeah, like the dog, right? And I was like, yeah. And I asked him, I was like, hey, do you know like what the name comes from? And he goes, isn't it like the Seleuk Turks? And I was like, I don't know. That's why I asked you. And so I went and did a little bit more research on it. Yeah. I saw there's a couple sources where it was like a line in a 1,000-year-old Arabic poem. My dog brought by kings from Seleuk. And then I tried to like find actual verifiable references that weren't somebody's blog post. And yeah, there were absolutely none.
Okay. A lot of blog posts though.
A lot. That's like whenever you Google something about dogs, you'll just find a blog post and it's like, oh,
actually, this is how someone feels about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cause everybody wants their dog to be like the coolest and the oldest breed. Like I know a lot of Samoyed owners like, oh yeah, my dog's like 3,000 years old. I don't know. Could be. They probably didn't write shit down.
He was like, I was there 3,000 years ago.
I was there when the magic was written or whatever that quote was. So anyway.
Yeah.
He thinks it's from the Seleuk Turks. Very well could be. Supposedly there was a lost city called Seleuk, famous for armor. Again, I couldn't find anything verifiable, like, or reputable to confer this. Confer, whatever. But somebody in the 1800s suggested that Seleuki comes from the Turkish tribe of Seleuk, and Seleuki comes from the Western bastardification of the word. Another theory is someone, or coming from someone you might know, was Lawrence of Arabia. I don't know anything about Lawrence of Arabia. I just know that he was a man and he existed in, I think, like World War One.
Yeah, he had something to do with like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
Peter O'Toole's the guy in the movie and he like, I think he like, it's something to do with like, kind of like Dune. He's like a white dude, like helps the Arab guys living in the region fight off the British or something. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Good for him.
Classic Disney story.
Yeah, classic white savior.
Literally, it's the white savior movie.
So he got a letter from a woman named Florence Amherst, and we'll get into her in a lot of detail coming up because she is very important for Seleukis as a breed. Florence was English, and she was like, I really need to know what the hell this name means and where it comes from. And so she was like, hey, dear Lawrence of Arabia. Oh, no, she was not texting. Hey, dear Lawrence of Arabia. I have Seleukis. Do you know where the name comes? And he says, and I quote, I'm not particularly doggy. We should bring that back. That's really very doggy, but that's besides the point. And he goes on and he says that the men he travels with call them Shami, but I can go and check. And then he signs it off really sweetly saying, sorry for not knowing anything, but yeah, I promise I'll get back to you. And guess what?
What?
He ghosts her.
Dude,
yeah, no,
nothing tough. Worse than a Victorian era ghost.
I know, but apparently she was like really adamant and sent him a shit ton of letters and was like, bro, hey, it's been like a week, I haven't heard from you, what's going on, are you okay, what are these dogs called? And he just was like, yeah, this bitch is annoying, I'm done, I don't want to respond. But it was Florence,
classic Lawrence.
Yeah, but it was Florence Amherst who decided to just name it Seleukis in the, I think 1922.
Okay.
Was the exact date that they were recognized as a breed. And she was just like, yeah, we'll call it Seleukis across the board. Don't even worry about it. Moving on to the Egyptians. As we know, Egyptians loved their animals. They did prefer cats, but they had dogs as well. Because I think, as you said, cats were more of like independent and kind of just could take care of themselves, where dogs required a lot more care and you had to pay attention to them and make sure they didn't eat their own shit.
Right.
It seems that most households had a pet cat, often more than one, and to a lesser degree, a dog. Cats were more popular because of their close association to the goddess Bastet, but also on a practical level because they could take care of themselves and rid the home of pests. Dogs, requiring more care, were more often kept by upper classes who were able to afford them. This is a quote from somebody who I linked. I'll send that to you later.
Okay, no, it's okay.
As a lot of people probably know, Egyptians mummified their pets. And I looked into it. It turns out, yeah, when you died, they would just kill your dog too and bury the dog with you. Because
seems to be the case.
Yeah, which is like tough. That's like, I like Egyptians, but that's, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. I don't care. That's how I feel about it.
If it helps, it seems where most dogs are buried with people, it's like that's the case. Might not just be the Egyptians, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even. Oh my God, what are they called? The Aztecs? Because I know they liked their Xolos.
Dude, they were bred.
They ate dogs too, right?
Yeah, they ate them. They sacrificed them. Like they bred them for those reasons. And then,
Hey, respect. It's a couple thousand years ago. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to tell you what's happening.
Mexican street corn. Tacos, but with dogs, maybe. I don't know. But I'm going to factually check that. We'll be right back.
Sure. Good. That was good. Okay. Oh, this is a crazy fact that I had no idea, and I'm wondering if you know it. If you were an ancient Egyptian and Strider had just passed away, what do you think you would do as a symbol to mourn?
Reach in and pull out his liver.
No, you'd shave your entire body.
Ah, oh, damn, dude.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So apparently it was very common. Again, please, for the love of God, listeners, verify this because, again, it's really hard to find out this kind of information.
Is that specifically for dogs or for people? Or like just in general mourning, I mean?
I think it's specifically for pets.
So it's like Frank Reynolds when he's all covered in the Germex and Always Sunny. I'll put that right here. Anyway.
I don't know, because I also wrote that shaved heads were very common as to avoid lice, and shaved eyebrows were a notable sign of grief. So maybe it is. I read that it was for dogs, but it very well could be for people as well. Regardless, very unique, very cool thing that I think we should 100% bring back. So that, I don't know, my brother's bald, so I could just keep asking him, like, oh, are you okay? Did your dog die?
When I see a kid in a wheelchair at Disney that's bald, I'm like, lost your dog, huh? No. I will assume leukemia. Rough day, am I right?
Oh,
emphasis
man.
On rough.
Jesus Christ. all right. We talked about this. Yeah, burying dogs isn't unique to Egypt. They did it in Greece. They did it in like Scandinavia during the Viking Age. The Mayans and the Aztecs did it with the Xolo. Okay. Yeah, so I did say that. Which is like, I don't know, you ever see people like, oh, why are there pyramids in Egypt and in Mexico? It's like, okay, why did we bury dogs in Egypt and in Mexico? Dude, was it aliens as well?
Exactly what I want to say to these people.
Come on, Joe Rogan. Could have been aliens.
It's like, they had dogs, man. Wow.
Yeah. Jamie, pull that up.
J-Mo.
One of the most popular groups of people to have a Saluki was the pharaohs. Because if you look at a Saluki, it just screams elegance and beauty. And it go fast, which is sick. Like, don't you just love having a fast dog?
I do.
My dog's slow as hell, but like, whatever.
You see Gladiator 2?
I did. Oh, dude, there's Salukis in there. That's right. There's Salukis in there.
The rich lady has Salukis.
Yeah. Two of them, too. I was like, fucking let's go.
This is starting to track, dude. I think you're right.
I think so, too. Because I know the ancient Romans would have brought, I know for sure, greyhounds, but probably Salukis, too, as like a symbol of wealth.
Yeah. It's like status. Yeah.
Yeah. Which now, I mean, I do it with my dog, even though I got him for free. He's worth like $2,000 to $3,000, which is fucking astronomical.
You flipped a dog, dude.
I did. And now he has no eyes. So,
To the right owner.
Buyer. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm not going to be able to say this. I remember learning how to say it. Oh, fuck me.
Whatever you have to say, I've said way worse and they've still aired it.
No, it's just like the pronunciation of.
Oh. Okay.
Pneumhotep?
Yeah.
The second.
Sounds right.
Pneumhotep the second?
I've heard of Imhotep, but Pneumhotep makes sense too.
I think Imhotep was way before him. No, wait. Is that the guy in... Who does Rami Malek play?
Oh. In Night at the Museum?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he killed Imhotep. Him, dude. He crushed that role.
He's just a sick guy. I think he's a little weird, but.
Well, to say the least.
Anyway, regardless, pharaohs often use Seleucids on hunting expedition, and there is a painting in the tomb of Neumhotep II showing a scene of Seleucids hunting gazelles.
Okay.
Yeah. More evidence can be found dating around 6 to 5,000 BCE. There's a carved ivory head of a Seleucid. And the site of Beni Hassan, there's a dog given his own tomb. And it's his name in the coffin. What the fuck did I write? Is named in the coffin text 5 times. Oh, his name was Heb. Sorry.
Heb.
Yeah. Heb. Have you seen that video of... Fenton!
Yeah, with the dog. It's
so good.
Fenton!
I always tell people, if you're going to name your dog, name it something that you're fully comfortable chasing the dog down the street and yelling at him.
Yeah.
And other people will hear you. So just like make sure it's not a cringy name like Grandpa. I met somebody whose dog's name was Grandpa. And I was like, so you're just going to run down the street one day. Grandpa, Grandpa.
My grandpa just mauled the kid. Everyone's going to be
like, oh, fuck, there's an 80-year-old on the loose. All right. Less ancient history. The Silk Road and China. This is completely my theory, so I'd love for somebody to verify this. But around 130 BCE, the Silk Road emerges as the world's longest trading route, linking the Western world to China and other areas around there. Probably still the Han Dynasty at this point. I have no idea. While it's not certain, it's most likely that the Silk Road played a huge part in spreading the Seleucid to places like China and Mongolia. By the 7th century AD, hounds resembling the Seleucid can be seen in art across China. There's a Tang Dynasty figurine that I'll send you. There's a big-ass mural. There's a Jesuit painter in Beijing that painted Seleucids for the Quanglong.
Good Catholic kid. Nice. All right.
Quanglong Emperor. It would have had the same function as it did in the Middle East. I don't know if you've seen those guys with the big ass falcons riding on horseback in Mongolia.
Yeah,
and they're just like, rah! Yeah, so Bedouins or Bedouins also do falconry like that, and they've just got Seleucids posted up on their left, falcon on their right. There's a dog called the Tazi, which is astronomically similar to its Seleucid. And so my theory is that through the Silk Road, Seleucids just traveled with nomads and traders and stuff. And they were just like, oh, actually, I like this dog. Can I buy that off you? And a bunch of Mongolians just partied with Seleucids and called them a Tazi.
T-A-Z-Y.
Don't take my word. T-A-Z-Y. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they look similar.
Very similar. Yeah. And I don't know if that's like, is that Kazakhstan? Is that a Kazakhstan dog?
Yeah, this is the first. The Kazakh Tazi is a breed of sighthound hunting dog originating from Kazakhstan.
Interesting.
Okay. Isn't that
I thought
nice?
It was Mongolian.
It's Borat.
It's very nice. My ex-wife. Modern history.
Yeah.
White lady brings this dog to England and absolutely changes the game for at least me personally, because without her, I wouldn't have known what this dog was. So, Florence Amherst, I mentioned her earlier. Her dad was an Egyptologist, absolutely obsessed with Egypt. I think his name was William. Yes, it was. And he went on lots of trips to Egypt. And I don't know, I think this, when did like archaeology started becoming a thing in like the 1800s, right?
Like modern archaeology as we know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he would have been right at the, not like the, what's the word I'm looking for? Not at, right at the start, but like, I don't know. He hopped on the bandwagon and he was like,
that's like when people were still like rich guys would go and just collect stuff to bring home
exactly.
to their friends.
Exactly. And so William was like, hey, daughters, let's go. And he brought a few of his daughters, but the main one was Florence. And on their trip, they were sailing down the Nile and Florence met a man named Jennings Bromley, an Englishman that was very close friends with the Bedouin tribe or Bedouin tribe, however you want to say it. Jennings There's somebody Bromley. Out there. Jennings Bromley. Yeah.
Just sounds like he has a monocle. Yeah.
So I want you to picture like if Chris Hemsworth was in like a 1900s movie.
Oh.
He, like one of the things I read was that this man was like super charismatic and was just hot as fuck, but he was like really bad at his job, but for some reason people just kept giving him jobs. But yeah, one of the things that the book that I read was like, yeah, this guy was like super attractive.
Wow.
So okay. Yeah, good for him. Shout out to Jennings.
Bromley. Which is Jennings.
Is Jennings not like just a very like, if your name's Jennings, you're probably like 6'4", 220, ripped to shit, super handsome. Everybody wants you. That's just, yeah.
And
when I hear the word Jennings,
chance of a trust fund.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jennings. All right.
But there was something else that was super special about Jennings. He owned a zoo, which is pretty sick, I'd say.
Wow. Yeah.
And so he was to the Amherst. He was like, hey guys, you want to check out my zoo? And they were all like, yeah, that sounds like a good time. We want to see some animals. So they get to the zoo and Florence was like, yeah, like this is fine. Okay. Elephants, cool. Tigers, cool. Oh wait, no, not tigers. Lions, cool. Hippos, probably cool. But there was one animal that sent her to the fields of reeds. She was like, what the hell is that over there? And Jennings was just like, it's fucking dogs. Like, it's dogs. Like, what do you want? And she's like, I want them. And he was like, okay. Turns out they were Salukis.
Oh.
Florence was like, yeah, get me these dogs immediately. I want two. So Jennings pisses off. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go to Lower Egypt, which is, I think, technically Northern Egypt, like Cairo. And he's like, yeah, I'll go find some Bedouins and purchase two Salukis. So he went. Found a couple brothers, was like, hey, let me get some Salukis, and shipped them to England. And the Amherst returned home in August of 1895. And shortly after, the dogs Aisha and Laman arrived. And I think Laman eventually became Lumen because she's English. Yeah, because okay. If you see it, it's LA'AMEN.
Oh, right. And they're like, no.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck is that? Florence still didn't know a whole lot about the breed, so she would spend literally decades of her life dedicated to finding out everything she could about Salukis, and this is one of the reasons she corresponded with Lawrence of Arabia and
this is the
tried
chick
to find
that
out.
Wanted them in a zoo.
No.
She found them at the zoo.
Found them in the zoo, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So she sounds confused and thought they
imagine
were
a dog zoo.
Well, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I'd pay. She just was like, assumed they were some other mysterious creature, not a dog, because they were at a zoo.
You can't look at a dog and be like, oh, that's a wild animal.
Bully, it's some kind of gazelle. No, yeah, she figured it out.
Yeah, so she does a bunch of research and all that good stuff, and then she decides, I want to start breeding these bad boys. And she reaches out to a bunch of people and turns out there's literally nobody else in England with Salukis. She got a bunch of offers from people with greyhounds and she was just like, nah, I don't want to mix her perfect lineage of dogs, and denied the request because, yeah, I don't know. There's probably like a racism metaphor in there somewhere.
Sure.
Until she met Miss Lucy Bethel. Lucy and Florence would become friends, and sometime between 1901 and 1903, they bred their Salukis. Wanting a broader gene pool, she reached out to Jennings again, and he shipped over another Saluki that he acquired from the Beni Hassan tribe, which I think is in modern-day Turkey. Is that true?
I don't know.
Okay, shit.
I know Benihana.
Yeah, I think he owns Salukis as well.
Definitely.
And now with enough Salukis to seemingly, I guess, repopulate, probably not safely, but whatever, it's the 1900s. Nobody cares about that. Florence started entering her Salukis into dog shows. In 1905, Florence began showing the dogs in prestigious shows that had the any other variety for sections of foreign dogs. This included elk hounds, Samoyeds, Afghan hounds, and
Salukis.
No. Well, no. Yes, but
so, wait. Say the list again.
Elk hounds, Samoyeds, Afghan hounds, and
Alaska Malamutes.
No.
German Shepherds.
Yeah.
Oh right, because the next part of the episode is about. Damn. You set me up so well.
All right. 1914 hits, World War I starts, and everybody goes, that's not very nice.
No.
actually, this kind of fucking sucks. And so they were like,
what's
all right,
smell?
Let's stop with dog shows. And even though 1918 is when World War I ended, right? 18 or 19? 17?
Yeah.
18? Okay.
I think it broke out in 1914 and then in 1918. Yeah.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 1921, so 2 years after World War I ended, that dog shows resumed.
Okay.
And because men can't handle powerful women, we had our own dog shows, and women had their own dog shows because, you know, obviously, when I see a woman with a pretty dog, I feel emasculated. And so it's just like, no, stay over there. Like, do your own dog show.
We'll That's have our own competition. No women here.
Yeah. During the war, she bred two more litters of Salukis. And once the war was over, she jumped right back in at 1921. And in 1922, everything would change when two things happened. Number one, a little thing called Tut Mania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So King Tut, his tomb was excavated, and everybody in kind of the world, but mainly probably England and like other similar Western countries,
right,
just kind of lost their minds and like, holy shit, Egypt is like low-key awesome. This is sweet.
Yeah.
I want to know everything. And Florence was just like, oh, I'm going to use this opportunity and pitch to the AKC, not the AKC, whatever the English Kennel Club is.
I think it's just the Kennel Club, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Just the KC.
Yeah.
KC Musgraves. She was like, okay, this is my opportunity. Everybody's obsessed with Egypt right now. I've got an Egyptian dog. The stars are aligning. And then one more star aligned with her, and she met Frederick Lance. And this is the part that I'm sure pisses a lot of women off, because if it wasn't for this man, who was in the book that I read, he was known for being very charismatic and very like, let me handle this. I got this for you. I got this for you. Like, I'll do all of the work. And I'm sure Florence was just like, go fuck yourself, dude. Like, I've been in the trenches with these dogs. Okay, not actual trenches, but I've been doing it for like decades. And you just come along with your pretty new dog, and you talk to all the boys in the kennel club and get the dog approved, even though I did all the work. That's kind of what happened. She met this dude, and he was just like, oh, I'm going to schmooze everybody, and we're going to get this dog recognized into the kennel club. And I do still think that a lot of people that are obsessed with Salukis recognize Florence Amherst as kind of the goat of Salukis and getting them and being the champion of it. But this dude, Frederick Lance, helped a lot, unfortunately, because boys will be boys.
And and women couldn't get their own credit card until 1980.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 1922. Hold on. Wait, where am I? At the meeting, Florence would completely dominate with her vast knowledge of the breed, declaring the official name to be the Saluki. After gaining recognition, they quickly became popular in the 1920s and were recognized by the American Kennel Club in 1929. During the 20th century, interest across the globe would increase, but the Salukis would always remain relatively rare. I think as of 2022, the Saluki is the 135th most popular dog breed, according to the AKC.
125th?
Yeah, and I looked at it. I think Samoyed is, I think, 56 or like 57, somewhere in the late 50s. And that's pretty much where it is. I always get very stoked when I see a Saluki and I go up to them and I go, like, yo, that's Saluki. That's a like really old dog. I don't know if I said this at all, but supposedly the Saluki is one of the oldest dog breeds in the world that has remained unchanged, because there are like Molossian hounds. Those are old as shit, but they're not around anymore. They've branched off into new different types of dog breeds. And the 1800s, everybody just kind of, I don't know, whenever you do research about dogs, it's always the late 1800s where these dogs come about.
Yeah. And that's like, seems to be like the Victorian era where they were all.
Yeah.
The kennel club became a thing.
And so because this is a Mesopotamian dog, I'm going to leave everybody with a joke from ancient Sumer. A dog walks into a bar and says, I can't see a thing. I'll open this one. whatever the fuck that means. I have no idea.
That's like an old Sumerian joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea what it means.
Okay. Interesting. I think I've heard that, and I'm still trying to remember how I've.
It made the rounds a couple of years ago on the internet.
Okay. And yeah. He, like, it's just the dog. It's like, the dog's drinking something.
I think it's either the dog was drunk and couldn't see. The dog opened a door because, like, a bar is considered like a brothel at that time. And so he opened the door. I don't know. I can't remember. Somebody did a big deep dive on Reddit and I read it. Nice. And I forget all of it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm sure somebody smarter than me will.
Somebody will comment here.
Comment.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep hiccuping and burping.
You're fine. There's also the one where it's like, it's a Mesopotamian joke. And it was like, since time immemorial, a woman has not sat on a man's lap and passed gas. And like, that's like the line. And it's just like, the joke is that like, women don't fart around men.
Okay.
And I was like, that's really the, someone etched that in was like, this is
good. Yeah. I mean, they had probably a lot more free time back then, just like waiting for the crops to grow and stuff. And so like, fuck it. Why not write in a manifesto into this brick?
Yeah, dude. And I mean, rough. Their diet was just straight up chickpeas and barley. They're definitely farting a lot.
Oh, one thing I did read or hear something. I don't know. I just heard this at some point in my life that one of the theories of why we settled in Mesopotamia is because a bunch of people were just like, hey, if we put this grain in water, we can get really fucked up off on it because it just turns into beer.
That tracks. I've heard the agriculture could have come from already knowing how to ferment beforehand too. Like it,
okay.
Yeah. Like it might lead to that. It's like, we want more grain to ferment and then, oh, I guess we can eat this, but I don't know. It's kind of like, it's one of those things like dog domestication. It's like, what exactly was the reason? It's probably many different reasons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
What is cool to me about that is, one, you put way more work in than I did, which you're about to find out. But two, I see a lot of stuff about like, you know, colonialism has its like effects still today on like different things like that, and it like dogs for sure.
Yeah,
but like Saluki, not necessarily the colonialism thing from England, but just the exonyms we use. Like we're used to saying Kiev instead of Kiev because Kiev's the Ukrainian word, but Kiev's the Russian word we're more used to. Like Saluki is the word in English that is standardized and we use, but I'm sure in other languages they call it something else too.
Yeah,
and that, like, I've noticed that with dogs a lot. Like,
yeah.
They like probably
even Samoyed, they had an E on the end because the Samoyedic tribe described themselves with an E on the end.
Okay.
And at some point in like the early 1900s, they're just like, drop the E, whatever. Yeah, just Samoyed. Yeah.
Yeah. Get that off. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. That was a really in-depth history of the Saluki, man. I didn't know all of that.
Good. I'm glad.
That's a movie, man. You got characters. You've got plot. Yeah. You've got...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I'll start writing it. Actually, now that you mention it, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
There you go. It's like it'd be like a quick like on the airplane like movie. Yeah. Like We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon. But
dude, I love that movie. That movie's so good.
I was gonna reference it when you said the thing about the zoo, and I was like, he won't get that reference.
No, I would. I love that movie.
Yeah,
Matt Damon and Scar. Is it ScarJo?
You know, it might be.
I think it is. Yeah,
I think it's ScarJo, or it's Cameron Diaz, but I think it's ScarJo. Hmm. Yeah, so like that kind of situation, but like, you know, how the Saluki came to be, and it'd be like, this lady, her whole life was like, I love this dog, let's do it. And then this guy comes around and he's like, I'll make it famous. You know, just, it's a plot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, man.
I don't think he was like a piece of shit, though. I think it was just like,
Yeah,
it just kind of happened like that.
Yeah. And that his name was Jennings.
No, that was a dude with the zoo. This dude's name was...
We know he had a nice suit.
Yeah, probably. And he probably smoked fucking pack of cigarettes a day.
Or he like sick pipes.
Yeah, is this still the time of pipes in the 1920s?
Oh, 1920? Yeah, pipes and big cigars.
Because cigarettes came around during the war, right? His name was Frederick Lance.
Okay.
I can just send you this entire doc.
All right. Yeah. This is like a whole video in itself.
That's what I planned on doing this because I wrote one and I was planning on doing like a history of this dog and it was going to be like a 10-minute video. And there's like a bunch of random fucking bits in there and like really stupid things that I say. And I had to basically rewrite a bunch of it and like fact check myself and stuff like that and get sources.
It was the preamble to it then. Yeah.
Exactly.
The trial run.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back and I will talk about the German Shepherd. We're back. So, anything else on the Saluki that I missed that you'd want to say? That you found fast, surprising?
They're super pretty.
They're a pretty dog.
They're very pretty.
It's the hand for me right now.
Sorry, I can't even see myself. Yeah, I think I pretty much covered it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, on to German Shepherds, which doesn't have the story and the lore that the Saluki does. The first German Shepherd to exist was in the movie Gladiator. I was kidding.
Is there GSD in that movie?
The opening scene of Gladiator where they're like fighting the Germans, there's just a German, I think it's a Malinois, but like either way, didn't exist then. And it's like, it's just going after Germans specifically. And somehow no one in the entire battle just like clubbed it over the head.
Like, I've seen the movie. I watched it right before I watched. I literally sat down, watched Gladiator, and then went to the movies with my friends and watched Gladiator 2.
Which made me so mad because in the next movie, he's like, what we do in life echoes in eternity. He's like, why do I know those words? I'm like, oh, my God.
Because a writer that sucks at his job wrote it.
Yeah, dude, like they had so much. Anyway, there were sharks with laser beams attached to their heads in the fucking water.
Freaking laser beams.
I enjoyed Denzel Washington's performance for sure. And I thought it was pretty good. I liked I thought Pedro Pascal was going to be the bad guy, but then it ends up being, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't want to spoil it for people. But anyway, German Shepherd origins. I got a list here. They were first bred in Germany in the late 19th century by Max von Stefanitz, who aimed to create the ideal working dog. Of course, they were originally used as herding dogs to protect and guide livestock. The first recognized German Shepherd was Horand von Graffrath. There we go. We're going to call him Horand, and he became the foundation of the breed. The dog's name was Horand von Graffrath. Proper dog should be a two-syllable Fido, Strider, Thor, one-syllable works, you know? But
the exception was the dog. The point. Yeah.
What was the one in your story? Hoth?
Lumen and Aisha.
Lumen.
I think Aisha.
Aisha. Let's see. World War One, World War Two. German Shepherds served as messenger dogs. We knew that. Guards and rescue workers. And then in World War One, they were temporarily called Alsatian Wolf Dogs. Because the UK wanted to avoid anti-German sentiment. Let's see. I had like multiple things all over. So, yeah. So here's the.
Wait. Did you say they? Sorry, I'm gonna cut you off.
Yeah.
Where did you say Alsatian? How do you say that? Alsatian.
Alsatian wolfhounds.
Alsatian. So wolfhounds. Are they like Czech wolfhounds, where they come from actual wolves, or were they bred to fight wolves?
That I don't know. Were called that. I think to just. Because it said here in the UK to avoid anti-German sentiment. So they just didn't. It was like freedom fries for us during the war.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to use French for that. I think that was the Iraq war. Never mind.
So these dogs are just propaganda.
Propaganda machine in the face of it. Let's see. This contribution to society. So I did a history of German Shepherds. Creation of the late 19th century. About 1800s. This Max von Stefanitz. We got that. And then Horand von Graffrath was the first. That's just such a mouthful to yell at it. Which he believed embodied the traits of an ideal working dog. And he became the first registered German Shepherd in 1899. My camera's here. I should probably not look off the camera. And then, yeah, pretty late. Origins of herding. The breed was originally developed to help herd and protect sheep in the German countryside. Their intelligence and agility made them exceptional at this task. So we know that. and then the German Shepherd Club, which I would like to join that. Von Steffenitz established this
froze again.
In 1899 to standardize and promote the breed, and they wanted to emphasize the working dog's abilities. Then we move on to a little thing called World War One, which was a fun time for a few.
I think so.
During World War One, German Shepherds gained recognitions for their bravery and their versatility, used as messengers, sentries, rescuers, and even ammunition carriers, which is pretty sick. Because if you're like, I need ammo,
sick.
And then this German Max, Shepherd get over here. Just runs up. Yeah, we're like, all right. Their popularity began to grow outside of Germany as soldiers from other countries witnessed their capabilities. So they were like, mm-hmm. that thing is cool. And then World War II, German Shepherds again proved invaluable, serving as military dogs for various roles, including bomb detection and search and rescue missions. The Nazis also used them extensively, which caused controversy post-war. So, Nazi dogs. But, you know, I have one. And him and he's fighting on the other team. Me and him get along just fine. So... That was me being Jewish joke. anyway, I didn't know you were Jewish. I'm like ethnically, yeah. Name change in the UK. Due to an anti-German sentiment during World War One, the breed was temporarily renamed the Alsatian Wolfdog. We got that. I really should have edited this. And again, your story was a lot more fun. And it wasn't until 1977 that the original name German Shepherd was reinstated in the UK. It's good to know. Okay, no,
Alsatian. Atlatian. Atlantean
Alsatian, which is the Alsace, I think is a river. I think we figured this out last time. Like the Alsace-Lorraine was like the big line in World War II, or World War One. So it changed that. But then they changed it to the German Shepherd in 1977. And then it got popularity in the U.S. when GIs would bring the dogs back or talked about the dog and talked that brought the idea of the dog back. And then they were introduced to the United States in the early 20th century, which I guess is World War One. Their fame skyrocketed with the help of Rin Tin Tin, a German Shepherd rescued from World War One battlefield. Didn't know that. And he became a Hollywood star, appearing in over 20 films. So.
Oh, what? So he was like a hardened veteran.
Yeah, I just assumed he was like a dog actor.
Yeah, me too. But that's crazy.
His dog was just purely shell-shocked, and they were like, probably
fuck, behave. Poor kid.
Yeah. Modern-day German Shepherds. Today, German Shepherds are one of the most popular breeds worldwide, prized for their intelligence, loyalty, and versatility. They excel as police dogs, search and rescue dogs, service animals, and loyal family dogs. And then I had, how did they get to America, which is relevant to us. Late 1910s, German Shepherds first arrived in the 1900s, brought by enthusiasts who admired their working abilities in Europe. Enthusiasts might mean PTSD'd GIs that were attacked by them.
Need a companion?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that too, yeah. They're like, those getting dogs. Mauled by this dog, like, oh shit, I should get one of these for home.
I was like, I got mowed down by a tank. He's like, yeah, have you seen the dogs? So yeah, military dogs in World War One. American soldiers encountered the German Shepherds used for the German military and noted their bravery and intelligence. And then they brought some home after the war. Okay, so I really needed to combine that. Let's see. We're still there. Yeah. Rin Tin Tin phenomenon in 1918. So the guy who brought him was Lee Duncan, discovered a litter of German Shepherd puppies in a bombed out kennel in France. And he brought one of the puppies, Rin Tin Tin, back to the US. Yeah. So he was just like a.
That's wild.
The rescued of rescuists. Of rescue dogs. And he became a film star in the 20s, appearing in over 20 silent films. And his fame helped popularize and destigmatize German Shepherds in America. So there we go. And it became a symbol of the breed's intelligence and loyalty. That keeps popping up in here. This is ChatGPT, by the way. And then, but I had it all pasted into a document. I didn't vet it. The AKC recognition, American Kennel Club, which, yeah, the Kennel Club is the original one, officially recognized the German Shepherd breed in 1913, further cementing their place in American culture. And then the impact of World War II, we got all that. But the post-war boom, after the war, German Shepherds became a favorite choice for families, police departments, and service organizations, cementing their role as one of the most common breeds in the U.S. due to their, you know, prowess in the war. Mm-hmm. And then I typed in historical German Shepherds. Rin Tin Tin, obviously. Strongheart, One of the first canine movie stars. He appeared in silent films like The Silent Call in 1921, and he paved the way for Rin Tin Tin. Now, this one's a doozy. Blondie was Adolf Hitler's German Shepherd during World War II.
Oh, shit.
And it would have been weird if he didn't have a blonde dog. I will say that. Because the kid liked blonde guys. And while Blondie's life is tied to a controversial figure, the dog is a notable part of history, is what ChatGPT says.
Did he outlive Hitler? Or was he like a childhood dog? Or like, how old was Hitler when he died?
I think he's probably in his like 40s or 50s.
Yeah,
he was okay, in World War One, so he would have been 40, 50s, maybe.
Okay.
Did he take the dog out with him in the bunker? I don't know. We should look that up.
Just let me hate him more. Let's say yes. Right. Let me fucking hate him more.
But the kid, Hitler did like, I should call him the kid. Hitler did enjoy the classical civilizations and archaeology. So maybe he's
a big
fan
of Napoleon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was. And Napoleon has something about dogs too, right? Isn't there like a story with him and a dog? I don't know. Who cares? It's neither here nor there.
He's not, because he's not a German Shepherd. He's not on this list. But what I was going to say was maybe Hitler did the Egyptian thing where the dog dies with him. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. But I know he wouldn't like bomb or take France because he respected Napoleon. I remember that. Well, he bombed France, but Paris.
Yeah, he bombed the shit out of France and took it.
So. Yeah, he was like, we're just walking into Paris. So that's Blondie. And then, but there's a whole, do you watch Always Sunny?
Yep. I've only seen the first few seasons and then like odd episodes here and there.
Okay. There's a whole plot where there's a German Shepherd painting in Charlie's apartment and they end up finding out that it's an original Hitler. And he's an artist. Okay, and they're all fighting over it. And who gets ownership of it? It turns into like a national treasure type episode. Or like they think they're Indiana Jones. And yeah,
that's really funny.
It's funny.
That show's wild.
Yes, I love Sonny. Buddy. Okay. The first guide dog in America. Buddy was a German Shepherd who helped Morris Frank, a blind man, navigate independently in the 20s.
I do know this story.
You do know? Do you know much about it? I guess that's the story.
Yeah, I guess that is the story. I do know that he put it in the paper and he was just like, hey, you guys should really like this dog or something like that, right? Because he went to, hold on, it's all coming back to me. He went to Germany. He was like, hey, no, somebody else went to Germany for him, gave him this dog. And he was like, yeah, this dog changed my life, put it in the paper. And then everybody was like, oh shit, dogs can help blind people. And then they created blind guide dogs. Or no. Other way around. Something like that.
Guide dogs for the blind.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Would be cool though to have a blind dog as a blind person and like you both just purely get around through smell and hearing.
I'll gouge my eyes out, me and Thor can go fucking party.
So yeah, just blindfold yourself one day and see how you can get around traffic. Just maybe at the park first. Then ease into traffic. Anyway. German Shepherds in pop culture. Ace the Bat Hound. I'd never heard of this guy.
No idea.
Batman's loyal canine companion in DC Comics, often depicted as a German Shepherd.
Oh, like Super Pets.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Or no, doesn't he have like a Rottweiler or something in that? Or is he a German Shepherd?
Oh, Super Pets, like the movie.
The newer one.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not a DC guy.
Hmm.
But let me see. Ace the Bat Hound. Is that what we're looking up? Jerry Lee, a German Shepherd who co-starred with Jim Belushi in the 1989 Buddy Cop film, portraying a smart but mischievous police dog. Mm. And then The Littlest Hobo, a star of a Canadian TV show from the 60s and the 80s. This wandering German Shepherd helped people in need in every episode. Did you know about him?
I've never heard of it in my life.
Me either. I'm Googling it right now.
The Littlest Hobo actually does kind of sound familiar.
The Littlest Hobo Doug. Oh, dude, he looks cool. And then, okay, so the military. Let me look that up real quick. Littlest Hobo. So it's a show. It's got a 7.7 on IMDb.
Yeah, I'm looking that. That's crazy. It also has like 6 years it ran. That's pretty long.
People must like the dog.
Yeah.
Military service heroes. Chips was a German Shepherd Collie mix who served in World War II. Chips was the most decorated war dog, earning honors for bravery after attacking an enemy machine gun nest in Sicily.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I put that at the top fact, and I put it back down here. Pretty crazy, man. Because I know Stubbs. We got to do a whole episode on Stubbs, like the World War One dog.
Okay.
He was like, I think he was like a GSD? Little French bulldog.
Oh, okay.
But I'd never heard of actual German Shepherd. Like, I didn't know of any German Shepherd specifically. So, yeah, Chips was good. And there's this guy named Mad Jack Churchill, who I believe...
Is that the dude with the kilt that ran around World War II with a sword?
Kilt, bagpipes, a longbow, and a claymore.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. Did he have a GSD?
No, but he took, not that I know of, maybe he did. He took a whole Italian castle that was like an Italian-German nest by himself, and the telegraph, the command just said Churchill. Because he did her Mad Jack. Like he got it by himself. But if he had a German Shepherd, that'd have been a cool one too.
Yeah.
But of course, the most known German Shepherd that I know from military history is Cairo, who is the Navy SEAL German Shepherd that helped get bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard multiple stories of that they shot bin Laden. But because of Islamic culture, you couldn't show his body. But then another military guy said, it was like, no, the dog mauled him to death, which is why he never saw his body. And I was like, oh, that would track.
Yeah. Didn't Trump also say that the dog's got him? And it's like, the dog's got him.
It was a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
A canine, they call it. I call it a dog. Yeah.
That's scary good.
That was, I do Trump impressions when I'm on the toilet.
That's very, oh my God.
Because you get bored, and that's where he does his best work too, when he's tweeting.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
but it's a Shane Gillis bit, and he was talking about because when they got al-Baghdadi, he was the leader of ISIS,
and he died like a dog. Yeah.
Abu, don't cry, Abu. But yeah, they were afraid that Baghdadi was gonna be wearing a suicide vest, so they sent the dog in first. And then the Shane Gillis bit was that he, like, this guy was just sleeping, and then the Navy SEALs exploded his wall, and a dog came in, and he was like, the literal Paw Patrol came into his room to get him.
Oh, man.
And then Max, the star of the 2015 film Max, based on a fictional story of a military working dog returning home after his handler's death. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a sad movie that I probably won't watch.
Is that the one with Channing Tatum or?
Oh, you know what?
That Liam might Hemsworth? Be.
There was a Channing Tatum movie with a dog.
I think that's with the Belgian. Is it Robbie Amell?
Max is 2015. Different movie. Yeah, yeah.
It is Robbie Amell. Yeah, so Robbie is the soldier.
Oh, and this is the one with Channing Tatum or not?
This is not with Channing Tatum.
Okay, so I got two movies to maybe watch one day when I'm really sad.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing I wanted, well, there's more things here. Fictional dogs, Rex and Bullet from Inspector Rex was Inspector Gadget, I guess. And then Bullet. Okay. But celebrities with German Shepherds would be Ben Affleck's dog, Hutch. He's often seen walking him on walks in Boston and Brooklyn. And my favorite...
He have a house in Boston still?
I don't know. This says Boston and Brooklyn, but it is ChatGPT, so it could be wrong. I think he lives in... I want to say he lives in Brooklyn. I don't know.
Yeah. Right, I thought he lived in California, but whatever.
That would make more sense. Yeah. And then Shakira, the queen, had a dog named Chan, which I learned this 2 weeks ago when I looked this up before we recorded this, and I wanted to make it a whole thing, but I didn't want to be weird, so I just left it to one little sentence. The singer often shares photos of her German Shepherd showcasing her love for the breed. So another thing that gets me just one step closer to her being my wife.
You should try tax evasion.
I think I might have on accident.
So, who fucking cares?
If the IRS is listening. Yeah, so that was the last thing I had on German Shepherds. I kind of thought you were just going to throw some Saluki facts at me, and I was like, okay, we got this. But you came at me with a history lesson, and I think that made for a much better podcast.
I hope so. I think I
kind of stumbled and fell a lot, but we got back up. We kept going. We made it to the finish line. That's all that matters.
That is, it's all that matters. But I enjoyed it. It was very fun, and I learned a lot. What did we? What are some? What are our favorite things we learned today, Johnny?
That Rin Tin Tin was supposedly bombed by Germans, which is just like, that's pretty rude, but like whatever, I guess.
Yeah, they like refused to eat hot dogs as treats. He was like,
is that a German snack?
Like hot dogs, the schnitzel.
Yeah, I got you.
Whatever.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, that was bad.
Brockers. I like learning that Shakira had a German Shepherd. That humanizes her a lot more. Even though the tax evasion thing just really humanized her for me. Taxation is back.
I love the queen. I'm just kidding. she did evade a lot of taxes.
Yeah, there was a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that was good. And then I didn't know that whole story of the Saluki, but I was going to say this earlier. With the Saluki, and you were saying that it's like an ancient breed or whatever, I think because it's so unique looking and just so pretty, is probably a reason it's remained so pure and like rare.
Yeah,
it's very much probably. Like a, you don't mess with that breed or that line.
Yeah, but I feel like you could like, I don't know, you have a purebred Saluki, a purebred Greyhound, smash them together. I'm sure their kids will look more Saluki than they will Greyhound. And so I don't know, like
because of the hair,
I'm sure there's some dilution of like Greyhounds and like other kind of Egyptian, Middle Eastern kind of just run of the muck, like Mills, not Mills, Mutts. But I don't know. I wasn't there. Who cares? They're here with us now and they're super pretty to look at. Everybody go look at pictures of Salukis and German Shepherds.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I think with your like iconic flowing hair and, you know, just you seem like a tall guy. I don't know how tall you are.
I'm like 6'2".
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it'll like tall. You and I next to each other will be C-3PO and R2-D2, which will be funny.
How tall are you? 5'7". 5'8". You're 5'5". Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little guy. get a box. But yeah, I think you with the Saluki walking down the street, maybe like smoking a cigarette like Ben Affleck in the meme would be iconic.
I would love to do that.
I think a Saluki is in your future. It's all good. I'm just trying to count how many are coming. He looked at you as if it was okay to walk over.
Murphy, come here. Murphy, come. Come
these here. Are dogs you're watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to start doing that. Okay. Well, that's the end of the episode, unless you have anything else to add.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Ramadan. Is it Ramadan? Cut that out.
No, I don't think so. But
when the fuck's
I think
Ramadan?
Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Similar. Ramadan's in February. Never mind.
We're close. This will come out closer to Christmas than February, but yeah, this will be after Christmas. But yes, happy New Year. Happy holidays. Yeah, the sweet. Actually, I have a Hanukkah sweater back here. I didn't have a Christmas sweater, but I didn't want to like, you know, it's very vibrant, and it just didn't want to, you know. Anyway, it's let's see, what was I going to say? I'm supposed to do something at the end of these episodes. Right. Please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts if you can. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment. Let us know what Johnny and I got wrong, what we got right, or just something that you're interested in, or if you'd like to see Johnny with a Saluki one day. And yeah, if you have another request for a breed for us to dive in that isn't the Salish wool dog, because everyone always asks me about that, I'll make a video on that at some point. It's a dog.
Salish.
S-A-L-I-S-H. It's a indigenous dog in Vancouver Island that they would use to make wool.
It kind of looks like a really scruffy. Oh, wait, no. Never mind. That's a painting. Interesting.
Yeah, I get requests to do that dog all the time. I need to do it.
I didn't know Canada had more than like 4 of the already existing dog breeds.
Canada's got a lot to offer, man. It's pretty big.
Newfies, Labs, Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever, one of the northern ones, and I guess now this.
Never heard of that. I guess the Greenland. The Greenland's not your guys. It's Denmark.
Yeah.
Does Trudeau have a dog?
No, I was actually going to shit talk all of my, because I don't think Pierre, Singh, or Trudeau, which are our three main kind of guys, none of them have dogs. And it's just like, I don't trust any of you now.
Yeah, Trump's our first guy without a dog, I think. Or like first modern president without a dog. He's like, I don't like them. They smell.
Did Obama have a dog?
Bo. Yeah.
Wait, doesn't what's his face currently have a GSD?
Yes and no. He got a little chompy and he bit a lot of Secret Service agents and they were like,
you need to put him down?
Did they put him down? They put him down. I think he might be at Martha's Vineyard or in Delaware. Probably not biting people there, but yeah, everyone was like, oh, he's the Democrats can't like handle their dogs. And it's like, no, I think it's just an overwhelming environment for a dog.
That's Yeah, probably.
And then other people were like, well, at least he's biting law enforcement. And I was like, why are we politicizing this poor dog?
He bites indiscriminately. He doesn't understand law enforcement. He sees an ass and he goes, om nom nom.
I think his name was Champ, honestly.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah, it's Champ or Ranger something. I think it's Champ. We'll pull it up. All right, man. Well, it was good to have you. You're always welcome on the podcast anytime. Uh-oh. And review the podcast, YouTube, all that. All right, I'm going to hit end here. Oh, wait, where can they find you? Right, that was what I was supposed to ask.
You can find me at John C. Dev on pretty much anything. That is JaunCyDev. I make dog videos, and that's pretty much it.
Sounds good.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.